Welcome to Dracena Wines Podcast. Our wines plus your moments equals great memories. I'm your host, Lori, and this is a podcast about all things wine.
Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of Dracena Wines Podcast. I'm very excited to share this episode with you because one of the things that I enjoy doing is sharing my love of Paso Robles with others. We visited Paso for the first time about 10 years ago, and it was love at first visit. We immediately knew that this was where we wanted to settle down and ultimately have our winery. Paso Robles has so much to offer. Of course, there is the exceptional wine, but there are amazing restaurants, cideries, and breweries. You can go horseback riding or hiking, and with just a short drive, you can be at the beach kayaking or stand-up boarding alongside beautiful marine wildlife. Mike and I chose to jump in and pursue our passion in the Paso Robles area, and in this episode, I spoke to three entrepreneurs who did exactly the same thing. I hope you enjoy. Okay, so I'm here with Tommy Booth of The Wine Boss here in Paso, right off of the square. And so first of all, just introduce yourself and tell us, you know, your background. Where are you from?
Yeah, I'm Thomas Booth. I'm the Wine Boss out here in Paso Robles. And I'm born and raised in Los Angeles, but I got into Cal Poly back in 06, and they had a wine and viticulture program. So I went with that and did some internships around here, worked some tasting rooms, and decided to... It's pretty good at my job, so I thought I'd go into business for myself.
So you also make your own wine label, correct?
This is true. Much like yourself, I did the garage's winemaking and went through Custom Crush and decided, well, I got some grapes here in Los Angeles for another enterprise I have, and I thought, why not start my own brand? Of course, the mom wanted to get involved, so Hermada Family Wines, Hermada's her maiden name, and we kind of went for it, and she came up with the brand name Memory Maker, and once we all got started. And so I'm plenty used to how difficult the gypsy marketing is for us with no wineries or taste rooms to call our own.
So you, in addition to having your own winery, you have opened this amazing place called The Wine Boss, which is right off of the square. And what's your goal here? What's your process here?
Well, my goal was initially just to establish myself. I think it's very important in separate towns to, you know, establish that connection with the locals and, you know, make a name for yourself in that regard. So obviously I wanted to... you know, make friends with the neighborhood and all the, you know, millennials that work the restaurants and the business owners thereof. So it's more to be a staple of the town, but obviously if you're a staple of the town, that's what draws the tourism. So I think that was ultimately the goal.
So when somebody comes into The Wine Boss, what can they expect?
Well, it's funny because we're the only place in town where you could do a wine tasting at 11:30 at night on a Friday or Saturday, which I think is a good little niche. So, obviously, we had to separate ourselves from, you know, the wine tasting Joes and Janes around here. And so I thought, you know, maybe a wine bar would be the better approach. And that gave me the advantage of being able to sell beer and cider and sake on top of wine, as well as have the late hours where people could actually do this wine tasting.
So what are your actual hours?
It's limited as of now because of the harvest and holidays. But, you know, as business progresses and, you know, I kind of get more on my feet, you know, I plan to be an everyday type of place. But for now, you know, Thursday through Sundays, you know, 3 to 10 p.m. Thursday, Sunday, and then 3 to midnight, Fridays and Saturdays.
So that's my next question is, so we have full-time jobs on top of the winery, and I don't know where the hours come from. And how are you managing your own label, doing The Wine Boss? How are you doing all this?
Well, of course, the capital is the most important thing, right? So as much as I would love to say that I'm on my feet because of all the capital and money, you know, income that's coming from The Wine Boss, you know, it's, I have to devote just as much attention to these side businesses to help carry everything. And of course, I'm going to need a team at some point, but as a one-man army here, you know, you just kind of, you're going to have to cut your losses at certain points and know, you know, maybe gamble at certain points. Okay, maybe I should focus attention on the wine box. Maybe I should focus on vineyards or the wine or whatnot or distribution. It's just having that acumen, that sense of when is the right time to do something, and hopefully you're right.
That's true. It is a gamble. You got to just throw the dice and hope that you're going it in the right direction. So where can people find you on social media, online?
Okay, so winebosslounge.com, and I think I'm going to keep it, although it kind of just retains myself as a lounge, but hopefully down the road, you know, we'll be more than that. We also got, you know, winebosslounge as our hashtag. You can find us on there, winebosslounge, you know, Instagram, Facebook, same thing. Personally, I'm the wine boss.
People are obviously having a very good time here.
As you can tell, the wine's so good they have to sort of yell it out. It is what it is. So there I am on social media. Please look me up, and of course, I'll always take good care of you. I'm a lot better in person than I am on the media. I mean, what's the better word?
I don't know, but like you're pretty awesome. You're pretty awesome on social media. It's like we all like to live our lives through your social media.
I like to try, you know.
Right, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Lori.
Okay. So I'm here with Nick Vega, and this is our first time at Earth and Fire Brewing Company here in Paso Robles. And we stopped in because we spent the day drinking wine, and you always have to end the day with beer. So we came in for the first time here, and holy crap, this is like some amazing beer here. So this is Nick, and we're going to ask him first off, how did you choose Paso?
Paso kind of chose me. My family chose me to come up here. So my wife's family's from Paso. So we had the opportunity to go ahead and move up here about 5 years ago. So we went ahead and did that, and I've been home brewing. So I met Nolan, who's a business owner as well, he's a partner, and him and I were brewing together and decided, hey, what the hell, Paso needs another craft beer place that's not necessarily so big, like Firestone. And it's been a blast, it's been a success, and we're having a good time doing it. Turned, you know, a hobby into, you know, a busy hobby.
Exactly. That's exactly us, you know. Yeah. Everybody wants to know, oh, you're making so much money in the beer industry, wine industry. No.
Absolutely.
So, home brewing, what was your first home brew?
Just a standard lager, you know, like a Budweiser, basically. But it was an off-brand, something my wife had gotten me for Christmas, just a home brew kit. And it didn't turn out bad. What I did something different with it is I carbonated it with chocolate syrup. Because you take sugar, you can actually, you know, carbonate those bottles. So I individually carbonated them with chocolate syrup, which came out okay. You know, nothing fantastic for the first one, but it was interesting. It was fun. And that's what's cool about brewing, is that you can kind of make it your own and do what you want. You know, and I think that's what most guys do that are in this industry, is, you know, you want to serve the public what they like, but you obviously want to put your twist on it and be a little different, you know, what you like.
Right, you definitely have to have your own personality and anything that you make, because it's you. You're presenting yourself out there. So, Earth and Fire, how did we come up with that name?
So the name, when, you know, we started doing all grain and all the product that goes into it, we really felt, man, it takes a lot of earth and a lot of fire to make this beer, because we do direct fire on our boil kettle. So that's really where the name came from. We also hope that when we got bigger that we'd have like a wood fire oven and be able to use the spent grain to make pizza dough or bread and reuse it in that wood fire oven from the spent grain from the beer. So it's kind of incorporated with earth and fire too.
Oh, that's freaking awesome. So you had mentioned you have a partner.
Mm-hmm.
So how long have you guys known each other? How did you come together?
So Nolan Mott is a business partner. We've known each other about 6 years now. We worked together at a previous job. I actually still work there full time. Nolan's moved on and actually has stayed in the brewing industry, as well as working here as much as he can. So we met at Wonderful Pistachios, is the job, and started home brewing together. And here we are, 5 years later.
So going from home brewing to this, what's the hurdles you see? What was the differences between
besides cost, yeah. What was the differences of going from home brewing to a business?
Well, you always have, you know, licensing and fees and the city that you run into. Things you don't expect would be obviously serving the public. You want, they want you to be ADA compliant. So, you know, 20% of your budget or whatever you're doing to your building has got to go towards ADA. Some of that was, you know, unforeseen. Mm-hmm. Didn't realize being a new, you know, ignorant, I guess, business owner. So it's things like that you don't, you know, you're naive about and don't realize that you're going to be running into. It also takes your hobby and a passion and makes it work, which is never always good, but at least you're doing something you enjoy.
I come from a food industry. I was a microbiologist for a food industry, and Michael is a food scientist. Okay. That's how we met. Okay. So I definitely know when you start in small batches, it's not 1 + 1 = 2 as you big batch it. So how did you combat that?
Just trial and error. Brewing beer is definitely chemistry. Not that winemaking's not, but, you know, getting the temperatures right, the ingredients right, definitely took some practice. And basically, it was just a cross of the fingers. Some of it came out good. Some of it we drank ourselves. Definitely didn't run it down the drain, but we drank it and it didn't go on tap. And a lot of times we will try to do a test batch of something really small and see if we even like it, and then try to reproduce it on a bigger scale. And normally it's okay. We haven't had any too many issues. That's about it. It's just trial and error. We've kept them down to about 8-10 beers now that we really have down. And as we slowly progress and get a little more experienced at it, we're incorporating some different style beers, doing stuff we haven't done.
So if you were going to say, this is our flagship beer, do you have a flagship
beer? Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, I would say what we call our Hip Hop Anonymous.
Oh, my God. That's what I just drank, and holy cow, yeah. I love it.
That's our double IPA, 99 IBUs and 8.7% ABV. Definitely a flagship. We really kind of have three that are three top sellers. It would be our Vanilla Porter, which is fantastic. The double IPA, the Hip Hop Anonymous. And our chocolate stout, which we call our Big Blues Bully. That's up at like 9%. Fantastic beer as well. So those three sell very well. We try to hit three that were across the spectrum that people could enjoy, and they do. The Vanilla Porter's a big hit, too.
Which, by the way, you poured that for Mike, and he pounded that.
Yeah. That's a good beer.
He pounded that. So tell us, where can people find you? If they're in Paso, give us your address and on social media so they can shout you out.
Definitely. Here in Paso, right now, we're pretty much just in the tap room at 825 Riverside, Suite 1 here in Paso, which is no longer just wine country.
There you go.
But we're slowly starting to distribute. So right now we actually have a keg over at Streetside Ale House, which is in Atascadero. Mm-hmm. We have the Vanilla Porter over there. They came in, tried it, wanted it. So we sent it off to them. And then 15C, which is a little winery kind of cheese house.
Yeah, that's awesome that you guys are in there, because that's wine.
Yeah, exactly. And they have the double IPA, the Hip Hop Anonymous. And we're starting to do bigger batches with a plan to distribute the Hip Hop right now, since it is our flagship. And then we do have a Facebook page, Earth and Fire Brewing. We have Twitter, and we have Untappd, and Instagram as well, under Earth and Fire Brewing. So you'll be able to find us on there, as well as a webpage, earthandfirebrewing.com.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, hi, I'm here today with Nancy Devitt, and we actually met way back, I think it's like 4 years ago now, right? And we were actually at a winery in Los Olivos, and being the, you know, non-social person that I am, overheard her talking about New Jersey, so introduced ourselves to Nancy and her husband, John, and it turns out that they were from New Jersey also and are in Paso. We are going to talk about their new venture here in Paso, but before we get there, so tell us a little bit about your background in New Jersey.
Yeah, we were out here when we met you in transition, so we were purchasing our home and figuring out where we were going to be, investigating the area. We were down in Los Olivos the day that we met you, and that was really an amazing day, because to find out that not only you're from New Jersey, but your husband lived really close to where I grew up. That was crazy. Small world. But so, yeah, since that time, we have settled into Paso Robles, and we were restaurant owners, so we still owned the restaurant for 2 years while we lived here, which was challenging and crazy. But we did it, so my husband flew back and forth quite a bit, did a lot of miles, and over that course of that 2 years, he started to work in the catering business here. So eventually, one thing led to another. We sold the restaurant, and he became his own boss here with Farmstead Catering.
And what does Farmstead Catering... I know he makes amazing pizzas.
Yeah.
And that's kind of has become his forte, correct?
It's his signature when he goes to vineyards. He's got this great wood-fired pizza, and he have pizza oven will travel. So he takes it all over the place, and he's known for that. He also does a barbecue station where he'll go out and do barbecue at vineyards. And then he also does Asian noodle stations. So he does pad thai or he does Singapore noodles. And yeah, so those are like the four basics, but he can do anything from sandwich buffets to Hawaiian poke buffets. And he has done quite a bunch of different things, private parties for different people based upon their needs. But yeah, he is sort of really good at making pizza.
So I have tasted the pizza and it is killer. It is really, really killer. So the Farmstead Catering, you can go to wineries that he caters at, and then you have your own business, the Chariot Wine Tours.
Yes. I started that company 2 years ago and I plan on continuing it. I really want to continue working in it. I think I'm going to have to lay low in the beginning of this restaurant for a while, but the business is a very great part of what I do. It's my heart and soul, so I'm not giving it up. In fact, I hope to promote it here at the restaurant. You know, we'll see. I have one other driver right now. We'll see if I may have to have more, but I've only one car, so it's just you know how it is. You've been in it. It's a very personalized business. But I've gotten to know people at the wineries that he works for and he works at. And so there's a lot of people we've gotten to know between our two businesses. And I think that's one of the reasons we're so excited about opening this. So we just have gotten to know so many people in these 5 years that we've been here.
So part of Chariot Wine Tours, you can actually also get some Farmstead Catering for lunch, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, he does my lunches, and it kind of took off in a funny way because at first he was like, well, I'll offer it, you know, and if not, they can bring their own, or you can take them somewhere where they can get their own lunch. And it started being reviewed on TripAdvisor and whatnot, and people were talking about the food. In fact, you know, the keywords that come up in terms of your people who write about you, yeah, it's almost always her husband in quotes. So yeah, they talk about his food, and that made it to like, oh my God, we definitely want the food. So what's up with the food? How are we going to get that? So I'm yes, 99% of the time now he does the food for my tours.
So now, being in Paso for
five and a half years,
you have decided to go a different route and open a restaurant.
Yeah, well, who'd have thunk it? After all that time of saying, you know, we've did it, done it, 10 years, been there, done that, he was looking for a kitchen that would also offer a retail space. The number one rule, as we know, with retail is to try to get everything you can out of every inch of your space. So in looking around for something, we found that there were not the options we really wanted with the traffic that we wanted, the foot traffic, etc., until we stumbled upon the place that we're taking over. And in that, you know, we talked about how it was pretty much a full-service place, but it also had a separate commissary kitchen, a separate whole area for catering away from the kitchen that serviced the restaurant part. And you couldn't have asked for a better setup. So we decided to jump back in to the restaurant business, which is bringing me a little bit away from my Chariot Wine Tours. And clearly, it's you can't do everything, But I believe that I can get this place started with a good staff that we have and still manage that. We'll see where I'm at in 6 months, but right now I think it's good.
In New Jersey, you were in charge of your
wine list.
The wine list.
Yes, I actually have a wine background. I have a CSW from the Society of Wine Educators, so I haven't used it as much, really, in theory, taking people on wine tours. You know, I use it to some degree, but I'm using it a lot now in planning my wine list and planning out our wine bar, which was not a part of this restaurant, but we did turn a section of the restaurant that was a cafe now into a wine and craft beer bar. So that's the kind of third piece of the puzzle. And I am excited to kind of be heading that up. That part is the fun part, I think. I get to do that again. It was good. I enjoyed it. And when you're practicing in it all the time, you're so much fresher. You know, I remember when I first studied for my test, it was like you could have asked me anything at any time. It rolls right off of my tongue right now. I couldn't tell you the regions in Germany. But, you know, that's probably one of the easiest ones. So, it's going to be fun to get back into that, kind of sharpen my brain.
And your vision for the restaurant, you mentioned that there was going to be the wine bar, you're going to have craft beers, and then there's going to be a full-service restaurant, and you have a back room for private events also.
Yeah, right.
So what are you focusing in on, a specific cuisine, a specific wine region, as you go?
Well, I think that our menu, being New American eclectic, as you've seen some of what John makes, will be everything from serving fresh oysters to pulled pork sliders, do a little bit of barbecue, mixed grills, game meats. We actually just talked to someone recently about a rabbit farm, doing some interesting game, and also some really nice sandwiches. John made this amazing 5-cheese grilled cheese at our restaurant that was to die for. And he's doing it at lunch with a half sandwich tomato soup deal. So, yeah, comfort food.
Oh, that's
and
my jam
of,
right
like,
there.
Fun food and, just changing it up often, changing every quarter, you know, using our farm in the spring and summer at our house to do our produce. Most of our produce will come from there. And really working with local people as far as organic meats and fish and all that good stuff. So, yeah, I mean, that's his thought. And then using the back room for private parties will allow people to have rehearsal dinners, holiday parties, whatever the case may be, to the tune of that kind of food, but with their own private space, and we can do up to 40 people back here. So
that's nice. 40. That's a fantastic rehearsal dinner.
Yeah,
or something,
and
like
set
that.
Up right now, it's a little less, but you can definitely finagle the tables to do 40. So that's as many as we would do.
So people are always interested in behind the scenes. Okay.
It's so glamorous.
It is. It's so glamorous. You know, they look at it, you know, you own a winery. Oh, you drink wine all the time and you do this. Or you own a restaurant. Oh, you can just eat whatever you want, whenever you want. But behind the scenes, so what are some of the hurdles that you've had to succumb or hurdle over, I guess, to just get going?
Yeah, well, you know, it's not like we're unfamiliar with it. We knew when we started our restaurant back east that we had a 200-year-old building. It took us over close to 4 months to get open because we had to rebuild quite a lot of it. We had to, you know, fix joists. We had major problems in an old building.
See, but
this
to
is
me,
not this.
To me, that sounds like a very short amount of time for such significant work.
Well, compared to now, which we moved in here 2 weeks ago, and we're opening in less than 2 weeks. So we felt it was turnkey. Turnkey is an interesting term because it was. In a lot of ways, but as you start digging, you realize that, you know, you're going to do more painting than you expected, you're going to do more changes than you expected, you're going to change some of the back of the house more than you thought. So the biggest hurdle for us so far has been just our tastes, wanting to make it more of our own. And at first we thought we were going to kind of really take it the way it was, and then we started realizing that we needed to make it more of our own style. So covered in paint, my nails are chipped, and I'm, you know, just, I literally painted my hair when I went to wash my hair the other day. I mean, like, it's everywhere, you know. But I have to say the best part about that this hurdle has been that the staff we've hired is all pitched in. They're all coming for 2 and 3 hours at a time to just help. You know, they come in their paint clothes, and they just, you know, they sit down ready to get dirty. You know, and they climb in ladders and painting, and it's really amazing to see that, because I don't even know these people. I just hired them, and they're already just being a part of this family. So I think that's probably one of the best hurdles I've seen, is that we've realized that we hired some really good people, and that's a great feeling. And my husband's, yeah, he's got a lot of stuff to do back in the kitchen, but he's very good at it, and he's excited about it, and yeah, he's going to make some changes that are really positive to make the kitchen more productive, more easefully useful, more user-friendly, so that the staff can function well and everything goes well. I mean, that's an experience that we would have known if we didn't already own a restaurant. You know, we had a very tight kitchen back there in the East Coast, and we have a lot more space now, but we learned about what works and what doesn't work. So using that experience is really helping. It's amazing. I mean, as hard as this has been, it would be so much harder if we didn't have that experience.
So, yeah, I couldn't imagine.
No, like, no, not at all.
Yeah.
Honestly,
you at least have some idea of what's coming ahead, you know, versus being slammed in the face of,
yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, not that there aren't surprises. I mean, there's always going to be more surprises, you know, but we're in a newer building. We're in a one-level building. We had 7 floors back east. 7 levels. It was like a Dr. Seuss building. I mean, it just had steps going in every single direction. And I mean, I was younger and I could do those steps and I did them in heels. But this is so nice. This is just one level. It's like a dream, you know, it's so nice. And like, wow. Even with the catering, he just rolls his stuff right out the back onto the truck.
And
yeah. Yeah. It's this building, I think, was meant for us. Yeah.
That's awesome. Gotta love it when it's kismet. It just all comes together.
That way, yeah.
So where can people find you? You're going, the location of the restaurant?
It's 1344 Park Street. Park Street is about one block off of the main drag of Paso Robles. So yeah, if you come down Park off of the square, you go one block over and there we are. And we have little twinkly lights in the trees, and we're gonna put up Christmas lights before we open, and you know, try to draw some attention from the square. Lots of foot traffic around here, so I think it would be pretty easy to find us. We should have an A-frame sign out soon, a black awning that'll have our name on it, and yeah, I mean, just a short block from the square, you can find us. And we're open for lunch and dinner. It's Wednesday through Monday. And we are closed on Tuesdays. And we'll do Saturday and Sunday weekend brunch.
Okay.
So instead of lunch menu, we'll just open an hour earlier, and it's a combination of brunch and lunch from like 10 to 2:30. I'm really excited about brunch because we have our signature Benedict. And it's really going to be yummy. So I think it's exciting. We'll be able to serve mimosas and bellinis with our wine and beer license, and great cappuccinos. Good time.
And I know it's early because you haven't officially opened yet, but Farmstead Kitchen and Catering.
Kind of wish I'd said Farmstead Kitchen and Wine Bar, but we opened under the name of Farmstead Kitchen and Catering, but we are also a wine bar, so it's kind of like...
People will come.
I hope
they'll
so.
Learn.
I think when there's alcohol, they just come.
Yes, yes, yes. But do you have social media set up? Will
yes.
There be?
Oh my gosh, yes. You can already find us on Facebook and Instagram, and soon we will be officially on Google Business and TripAdvisor. All that's in the waiting period right now. We'll be putting this on Yelp as well. And I have, which you can help me with tremendously, is on my website, which is farmsteadkitchenandcatering.com, which will go live the beginning of December, hopefully right before we open. It's a real pretty website. It has a blog, and I've never blogged. Oh, I really, really, really
we'll
need
hit you up.
You
we can help you
You
out.
Need to hook me up with the blogging.
Absolutely.
And I need to do it regularly, and I need to make it very important to me, and so that's one of my goals.
Absolutely. I can help you out with that. Ideas are already going in my head.
I've never blogged.
Yeah, not a problem. Not a problem. Then you can start a podcast, too.
Right.
Like, there you go. You just keep, you know, it just goes from one to the next to the next. So thank you very much. And
thank you.
I'm so excited for you. It's like to think, you know, just two Jersey girls in a winery in Los Olivos who have become like best buds.
It means so much to me that we met. And I hope that you move to Paso soon. Is a regular thing and not just,
it's,
you know.
It's not
random.
Like I have a countdown on my phone or anything like that.
You are here an awful lot talking about logging miles.
Yes. Yes, United and I, we're like that. Yeah, yes.
Wow. Well, it means the world to me. Your friendship really means so much, and thank you for doing this podcast.
Oh, absolutely.
And for being so supportive of John as well. And you know a lot about making a business work because your wines are amazing, and
you've
done a great job with it from East Coast to West Coast. So both you and Mike are just amazing. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Dracena Wines Podcast. If you have suggestions of what topics you would like us to discuss, please reach out to us on social media or at dracenawines@gmail.com. If you liked our podcast, please subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting program you use. To easily subscribe at iTunes, please go to bit.ly/DracenaPodcast. That's bit.ly/D for Dracena and P for podcast. We would greatly appreciate you leaving a review on your favorite system. It helps others to find us. Let's get social. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Pinterest, YouTube, Google+, and Periscope at Dracena Wines. And I am on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd. Check out our award-winning wine at DracenaWines.com. And remember to always pursue your passion. Sláinte!